Morning to those of you who are online, or perhaps you're watching on demand during the week. It's so good to have you joining us wherever you're coming from. Today we conclude our gifted sermon series with a focus on activating and releasing those gifts that God has put within us, and as we do, giving God our absolute best. There's a story of Queen Mary, who used to visit the Balmoral Castle in Scotland at summertime. Every year she'd be up there for the holiday break, and so well known and well loved was she that she could walk around the countryside unescorted. No fear of her safety at all. And on this particular day, she's walking around far from home, and she realizes an impending storm about to hit. And so she quickly rushes into a nearby house and raps on the door and asks the lady of the house if she could borrow an umbrella. Well, the lady of the house doesn't recognize this as the Queen. And so she reluctantly decides to give her an umbrella, but she knows behind the front door there's a brand new umbrella. Doesn't want to know about that one. So she goes downstairs to the attic and gets this old crusty looking umbrella, lots of holes in it, a couple of broken ribs, brings it back, and with a half-hearted apology says to the Queen, "Here you go, I hope this helps." Queen says, "Thanks very much," and goes on her way. 24 hours later, a rap on the same door. It's a distinguished-looking gentleman with a long, official-looking envelope. And he says to the lady of the house, "The Queen sent me. She just wants to thank you for the loan of your umbrella yesterday. It was a great assistance to her." Well, the lady of the house was absolutely stunned. And as the door was closed and the man retreated, she fell to the ground, burst into tears, and was heard muttering, "If I knew it was the Queen, I would have given her my best. If I only knew it was the Queen, I'd have given her my best." That's the question I have for each of us today and for those of you who are online. Are you giving God your best? Over the last 3 weeks, this has been a little bit of a theme verse for us, hasn't it? Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what?" Let's say it together. "To do good works." That's right. "Which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So we have been uniquely created to serve and to invest in people's lives and to build this church. We all have a unique package. We all have a set of skills and natural abilities and spiritual gifts and personalities and passions, all that make up this unique package of ours, all for God's glory and in His service. Are you realizing the potential that God has put within you? Are you realizing it? Have you stepped into your calling with great enthusiasm? Are you using your gifts to touch people's lives? Are you making a difference in people's lives? Are you contributing to the strength, the growth, and the vitality of God's church? Or perhaps you're in self-preservation mode, sitting on your hands, leaving it to others. Perhaps you're serving when it suits. Perhaps you're serving half-heartedly. Perhaps you even feel like you've got precious little to give. "Oh, there's not much in my armor also. No, I'm not going to give." Or perhaps you think to yourself, "I'm not good enough to serve," or "I'm not spiritually mature enough to serve. Actually, I've only been a Christian for 6 months or a year, and hey, it's not time yet." Or perhaps you've been involved in the church for many, many years, and you still feel like you're not good enough or not mature enough, and so you're holding out, leaving it to others. Well, the parable we're about to look at now, Jesus challenges that very notion and then sets an expectation that our Father in heaven has of every single one of us. Not every second one of us, every single person in this room and watching online should be engaged by this parable, because this parable is for all of us. Let me read it to you from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You might want to have the parable open before you as well. We're going to have a look at a few different learns as we go along over the next little while. Again, in the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned the more, 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Bit of a harsh ending, wasn't it, to that lovely parable? Real sting in the tail at the end there. This is commonly referred to as the parable of the talents, where a wealthy landowner entrusts his resources in what he deems to be trustworthy servants. Now, in biblical times, a talent was different to how you and I might define a talent. A talent was actually a measure, a unit of money. And so this parable has been seen as an exhortation to Jesus' disciples to use their God-given gifts in his service and to take a few risks for the sake of the kingdom. So these talents of money represent any kind of resources that God has given us, including our gifts, and then to use those gifts in serving. And so as we bring ourselves personally to this parable, what we can do is we can take a number of learns that will propel us forward in our serving. Let's have a look at a few of those. The first learn is belief. See, our master totally believes in us and trusts that we'll get the job done. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created good works for you to do in advance. So he's done that for a reason. He knows what he's doing. He's packaged you purposefully. And there are times in our lives where we don't back ourselves in. We actually don't believe in ourselves. We second guess ourselves. Should I? Shouldn't I? Look, I'm not good enough. I don't think it's really my time to serve or get involved in that. Ah, it's baloney. God believes in you. And if our Father in heaven believes in you, our Master believes in you, we ought to believe in ourselves. And so that's the first learn we take here. Each of us can make a difference in people's lives and impact God's kingdom. See, in this parable, he divides the money among the servants according to their abilities. So no servant receives more or less than they can handle, meaning that each of us have exactly what we need. We have the capacity to activate that which God has put within every single one of us. We don't have an excuse because he's actually equipped us and empowered us to release the gifting within us. So the issue is not how much we've been given. The issue is how well will we use that which we've been given. So being overwhelmed, or like I've got too much to do, or I'm just too busy, or I'm overworked, being overwhelmed is never an excuse for failure. Failure will only come through laziness or ignoring God's call in your life, or worse still, a hatred towards the master. Second learn is generosity. To one servant, the master gives five talents of money. To another, he gives two. And to another, he gives one, which highlights the generosity of our master. A wonderfully generous, a bit of generosity on display here, because he fuels us and he empowers us to get the job done, to make a difference, to contribute to his kingdom. But here's the thing, they're nothing that we've earned. We haven't deserved these gifts that he's given us. He's just lavished them upon us through his love of us, through his generosity, and through his belief in what we're going to do with them. And so he expects so that we'd use those gifts generously to pay them forward and to use them to touch people's lives. Now, why is it, though, that God appears to be more generous with some? It can be frustrating, can't it? Have you ever felt like a one-talent person or a two-talent person surrounded by a whole lot of five-talent people? And it can really be inundating, can't it? It can be really, really challenging. I remember this guy that I grew up with, a young guy who was the envy of a whole lot of other guys in the pack. This young guy was a loving, kind, considerate young Christian man. He was dateable, all the parents thought he was anyway. And he was just a beautiful man. But it was more than that. It was more than just his character. because this was a very intelligent person, really well educated, had 2 degrees, and was a practicing full-time doctor at a very early age. But if that wasn't enough, on the weekend, you'd see him behind the keys here playing the piano, a really accomplished pianist. But when he wasn't playing the piano, he'd be out the front worship leading, because he was just as skilled and gifted in song. And when he wasn't on the platform on the worship team, he'd be behind the pulpit preaching on the preaching team, because he was an incredible preacher. And then during the week, because he was such a good preacher, people would use him to teach at small groups during the week. And so he'd go and visit small groups and be a teacher. And on top of that, he was the opening bowler of the local cricket team, sending thunderbolts down the lane every week. And he was married to a really attractive wife. Come on. That's just not fair. Not fair. The guys used to say, can't you just slide a couple of those attributes of yours our way? You'll still be okay. You'll still survive all right. But no, it didn't come to that. And it's not about that, is it? But people like that can actually stymie our serving. They prevent us from serving. Why? Because we look at them and think, oh, we put them on a pedestal and think, I could never measure up to that. I could never have the sort of impact that he's having or she's having. And so we retreat, sit on our hands and render our gifts null and void because others can simply do it. They're going to have all the impact. And we can feel inferior in their presence. And we fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others. And the comparison game is a dangerous game to play. Because when you play the comparison game, I can guarantee you, you'll lose every single time. Why? Because this is what we do. We generally compare what we don't have and who we aren't with what somebody else has and who they are. And when you do that, can't win. You will lose every single time. But it's not about winning. You see, it's about being content with our generous God and with what our generous God has lavished upon you. He didn't make a mistake with you. You are a masterpiece. You're all masterpieces. We're ordinary, but we're special at the same time. And we need to embrace that. See, envy and comparison will only distract us from our own unique calling. And you'll never give God your best if you're consumed with what others can do and what you can't do. Worry more about what God has given you, what you can do, and grow in those strengths that he's given you. Another learn here is that we all have a role to play. See, in addition to our natural abilities, every believer, you read in the scriptures, they're assigned at least one gift, likely more than one, perhaps several. That's inferred by this parable, 8 talents of money across 3 servants. So God blesses us all in different sorts of ways and for different purposes, for which we must embrace if we're going to make a collective impact for the kingdom of God. Now, Mother Teresa once said that I can do what you can't do, and you can do what I can't do. Together, we can do great things. As a church body, we are a diverse people. And that's a good thing. And we ought to celebrate that. We need each other. We want to celebrate our diversity. There is great unity in our diversity, united around our love for Jesus Christ and the mission that he's put before us to be involved in. There's the unity, but the diversity is our shape and how he's made us. And that ought to be celebrated. No one is more important than another based on his or her talent or number of gifts. You see, the upfront speaker who has the gift of evangelism, who regularly brings many people to the Lord, is no more important than the person with the gift of mercy who's out visiting people in hospital all through the week. Or that really engaging, popular teacher is no more important than the person with the gift of helps behind closed doors, mopping the floors and preparing the morning tea. See, whatever the gift is, whatever the gifts are, we need to come to a mindset and a heart of simply being thankful. Thankful, God, that you have shaped me into who I am. Thank you for this unique package, that you would think so highly of me. You would believe that much in me that you would give me a role to play on your team. That is a good thing. We all have a role to play. The next learner is responsibility. Our individual responsibility is clearly illustrated in this parable here. You see that 2 of the 3 servants get to work. They get busy, don't they? And they use what God has placed in their hands and they reap the rewards as a result. As a matter of fact, the master comes along, gives them even more responsibility and gives them an abundance as the multiplying starts. Yet the one servant wasted his talent and bore no fruit. And I know in my life, there are times where I let things lie in waste. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that we're all guilty of this, whether it's exercise equipment in the shed gathering dust, or maybe it's those books that have been left unread on your bookshelf, or perhaps it's those tools in the garden shed that are looking just as new as when you open them on Christmas Day. Now, I can see a few smirks there, a few ribs copying it. That happens for all of us, doesn't it? Things that just lie in waste. And when I refuse to engage in those sorts of things, if refuse to embrace them, what's happening is I'm limiting my growth and my output. So what might that be for us? What might be the gift, that strength, even that natural ability that you haven't yet redeemed for God's kingdom's sake, what might it be that's lying in waste in your life? Because you're too busy prioritizing other things. See, the one talent servant refused to use his God-given gift, which meant he was never going to be the best version of himself. Refusing to give God his best, but rather pulling out his best excuses. And he had some excuses, didn't he? We also have some excuses. Sometimes we think they're valid, those excuses. What are our excuses not to sort of step up and into our calling and to serve him? And often it's, oh, look, I just don't have the time. I haven't got the time. My experience is that we all have the time to invest in the things that we're giving priority to in our lives. Whatever your priorities are, you will find time for them. So if I took a logbook of your week, I can tell you exactly what your priorities are, and you could do the same for me. You'll always find time for the things that you hold close to your heart. I haven't got the time. Well, I suggest we have got the time. Sometimes we're just using our time on the wrong things. What about, I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. Yeah, well, perhaps you are busy. We're all busy. We'll all go through seasons of busyness. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, finding that balance between serving and sitting and finding that beautiful blend of the two. But we'll go through those Martha seasons of life where we'll be busy. But is God at the centre of your busyness, or are you busy with the wrong things? So I don't believe that you should ever get to a state of burnout and feeling overwhelmed and overly anxious. And if you are, then there's something has crept into your repertoire and into your life that is not of God, because he's not going to create good works for you to do in advance for him and then have you in a position where you're that stressed out you actually can't fulfill your end of the bargain. It's not going to happen. So something's crept in that is not healthy. Too busy? Maybe busy with the wrong things. What about this excuse? I can't. I just can't. That's the old Moses excuse that Pastor Dale talked about a few weeks ago. I just can't. Well, you know what God says? You can. You absolutely can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it says in Philippians. So I'm convinced that the burying our gifts and our natural abilities will only have a detrimental impact on your relationship with Jesus, and also it will stunt the growth of the church. I heard it recently said that the body, as in us, the church body, is poorer if you choose not to serve. Think how much stronger we would be as a church if everyone was pulling their weight and serving and sowing into people's lives. So the body is poorer if we choose not to serve. Do you know who said that? Who said that recently? You might have heard it said recently. Yell out to me. Come on. Come on, have a go. It was Pastor Dale. Here we go. That's right. Were you listening last week? I'm sure you were. And I think Pastor Dale says a lot of insightful things that's worthy of repeat the week after, and that was one of them. The body is poorer if you choose not to serve. Serving is a way of exercising our discipleship muscles. It's the exercise that grows a healthy disciple. It's the exercise that grows a healthy and vital church. So be encouraged, won't you, to take a step forward, if in fact you haven't already, to engage or to re-engage and activate your gifts. And you know, as you activate your gifts, you will grow as you go. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes people are a little hesitant. I'm not sure if I've got a gift in that area, or I'm not sure if I'm going to have much impact. And so, you know how when you get to a pool and you put the toe in the water and you just test the water out, and often our default response is to the toe comes back, I'm not hopping in there. Well, their gifting can be the same. Sometimes we lack a little bit of confidence, but we just suggest, hey, have a go. Put your toe in the water. And the longer the toe's in the water, generally what happens is the water becomes a bit warmer. You get acclimatized, and before long, you're swimming around the whole pool, enjoying the whole experience and loving the environment. But if it continues to be icy cold and you just can't bear it, well, God will have something else for you, and that's okay. But just step in and have a go, because that's where you start to grow. So are you giving God your best? You're giving him your best. At Crossway, right throughout the week, one of the great things about being part of this church, and I love this church, is the fact I get to watch you. I get to watch you at work. And I sit back and often find myself applauding you and just being so grateful for the impact that you're having for God's kingdom and his church. Right throughout the week, I see people stepping into their calling and embracing the gifting that God has placed on them. People who understand that what they do matters. People who have connected a soul to their service. People who are serving as if Jesus is on the receiving end of your serving, giving God their absolute best. You know, most weeks we stand up here and we celebrate first-time commitments. We celebrate baptisms. We celebrate healings. We celebrate people coming into a loving community where they can find community for the first time in a long, long time. All these sorts of things eventuate. Why? Because of the selfless attitude of a car parking attendant out there on a cold, blustery Sunday morning. That's often where it starts. Or it's that welcoming person, the welcoming team at the front door here with a little bit of a glitter in the eye and a warm handshake and a word of encouragement to someone sheepishly walking in for the very first time. Or perhaps it's the additional needs buddy walking alongside a family who've had a really, really tough week. Maybe it's our prayer team member who listens empathetically and then prays faithfully over someone who is desperately in need of prayer. Or maybe it's a life group leader who opens up their home to a spiritually hungry group of people, or to a group of people who are hungry for community. Or perhaps it's the Alpha team giving up 10, 20, 30 Monday nights and 3 weekends a year just to walk with people in their questioning, in their doubts, pre-Christians who are yet to step over the line of faith. But we walk with them, we listen to them, we become friends, and we give them an opportunity to actually see their lives changed for the better. It's the person who's driving a senior to a medical appointment because they can't drive anymore. Or it's that person that's visiting hospital after hospital through the week, someone who's had an accident. Maybe it's our worship team, rehearsing for hours and hours and then helping to usher us into God's presence through song. Perhaps it's our youth leaders on a Friday night who show up week in, week out and have to cut through some of the immature behavior of those year sevens and year eights. Oh, that was hard work, I tell you, back in those days. You cut through all that immature behavior to sow into lives at really pivotal moments in their lives. Or perhaps it's our Crossway kids leaders who show up every single week on a Saturday night downstairs here on a Sunday morning after a long night, perhaps even maybe they copped an injury at sport, but they still show up the next day to sow into the lives of our kids during small group time. Perhaps it's our security adults down there walking the hallways and into the rooms, keeping all the spaces really, really safe and secure for our young ones. Perhaps it's those life care coaches and mentors coming along some people who are doing life tough and helping them to flourish. Or perhaps it's our English as an additional language helper, loving on people who are new to Australia and helping and teaching these new arrivals with another language. And I could go on and on and on and on. Why? Because this church has given itself to this very key value that we often speak to, that everyone gets to play. There's a position for everyone on this team. The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. And there are opportunities right across the life of this church, across a whole myriad of ministries, where your unique package will relate and will matter and will make a difference. Pastor Dale last week mentioned that next year we're going to add a third Sunday service here at Crossway. So we're going to have an 11:45 service. Now, I've spoken to some of you about that already, and some of you are already thinking, fantastic, more sleeping, that's great. That's not about the sleep, in fact. We're not doing it for your sleeping, okay? That's not the reason. We're doing it because of the regrowth that we've experienced at Crossway this last 12 months. That ought to be celebrated. That's a great thing. We've experienced a lot of regrowth. As you look around even now, oh, okay, wonderful. As you look around now, it's actually hard to find a seat. If you walked in towards the back, you look around, very hard for a family right now to find the seat. Although, can I just remind you, the front row is always available. Okay. If you come in late and you're wondering, where are those seats? I can guarantee you there'll be seats down the front. Just come on down. Okay? Yeah. But having said that, it's getting fuller in here. And that's why we're deciding to bring a third service in. And also, we're going out in faith. We're believing we'll continue to grow. And that's a good thing. We want to step out in faith. And the other thing we do know is that in February, and we'll start this on the first weekend in February, which is our vision weekend, we will get a bump in attendance on the first week in February and through that month. Always do. So if we had that same bump right now, a lot of you wouldn't be in here right now. You'd be in overflow. And so we need to bring that third service in next year. That is exciting because it opens up a whole variety of ministry opportunities to serve. And a couple of those ministries are with Tim and Carly. Come and join me, guys. Carly represents our Crossway Kids and Tim, our Next Steps pastor. Come forward. Hey, Carly, let us know what this news means for Crossway Kids and where the opportunities lie.
Well, the great thing about Crossway Kids is that we have so many serving opportunities that no matter what you're gifting, we can use you in some way. Yeah. But I just want to highlight three of them here right now. The first one is as a small group leader. So we're after small group leaders who might take a small group of kids, serve weekly, fortnightly, who can teach these kids the Bible and how to apply it to their lives. The next one, we'd love some adult mentors. Now, many of our small group leaders are youth, and they're still learning, you know, the trade and things like that. And we love to encourage them. We want people to come alongside them and mentor them, encourage them when they need it, help them when they need it, jump in and things like that.
And adults are important, aren't they? Because traditionally we've thought Crossway Kids leaders are often, we think, young people.
That's right.
Put the young people down there so mum and dad can get a bit of a break.
That's right.
But it's not just about young people. We'd love to have mature age, spirit-filled adults involved too. There's space for them.
And they are so powerful in that space too.
And another
not just for the
role.
Kids, but for the leaders as well.
There's another important role, isn't there?
That is. And there is another role, that's the additional needs buddies. Now, we have additional needs families that come along, and we have buddies who walk alongside those families, and that buddy spends that time during the service with their child in their space. Wow. And so they're just to help the child just to feel comfortable, to help them understand what's going on, and to teach them the Bible at their level as
well. So good. And this additional needs space is a mission field in of itself, because we have lots of pre-Christian families coming along to our additional needs ministry because there's nothing out there that services them. And also, the environment they step into is so very different to what they're used to. And so what a great ministry to be involved in.
Awesome ministry.
Additional needs. Hey, what do you see in people serving?
Oh, we see so many changes. They grow in confidence, skill sets, capabilities. But the biggest difference that I see is that our team starts to celebrate the wins. Now, we do celebrate big wins like our big step or baptisms, but our leaders start to get excited about the little wins that happen each week in our space. So, for example, last week, our prep to grade four leaders were celebrating together. And we found out that one of our grade three boy leaders, I think it was, he was running activity with his group, and one boy mentioned in an activity that he was having nightmares. He couldn't sleep, he was tired, it scared him, he didn't know what to do. So the leader stopped the activity and said, "I want to pray for you right now." But then all the other boys in the group jumped in and said, "No, I want to pray for him too. I want to pray for him too." Mm-hmm. So we're talking about 9-year-old boys praying for each other.
So good.
And our group was just celebrating, our leaders were celebrating that win.
Well done. Thank you, Kelly, for all that you do too with your team. You know, you're busy every week. Thank you so much. Pastor Tim, lots of opportunities to join your teams.
Oh, absolutely. So last week, you might have heard, we had the Alpha Holy Spirit weekend where 11 people made a first-time commitment to Jesus.
So good. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Now, I like to think that, and one of those persons was this lady that was invited to by her friend who is in a welcome team. So I like to think that when she was first brought to church, her Crossway experience, the welcome of it, started out there in the car park with my car park team welcoming people in, saying, "Hey, park there," with a nice smile, right? She would have walked in, her hand would have been shaken a few times, maybe they complimented her on a haircut. And then she walks in here, you know, her heart's full of joy and it's a bit soft. And what happens then is the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
And then she's invited to Alpha, and the team there journeys with her, introduces her to Jesus, and she puts her faith in Jesus. So, through that process, lots and lots of opportunity to serve.
Lots of pieces of the puzzle all coming
absolutely.
Together.
That's it. So,
and Tim, there's some teams that you're also involved in that will opportunities will arise next year.
Absolutely. So when we get to February, just as kids need people downstairs, we need a welcome team. We need to boost our car park team and our Next Steps team, where they talk to not just newcomers, but people who respond to the message in some capacity.
It's good.
So we need you.
Thank you so much for highlighting those things. Put your hands together for Tim and Carly. Thank you for your involvement today. So in the foyer today, we have a little mini ministry expo set up where you can ask questions, you can take information, you can express your interest to be involved next year. You can go away and pray about that or talk to some of your nearest and dearest about your involvement together next year. So don't rush off after the service. There are so many opportunities that align with your specific gifting. And I'm going to brush through those really quickly now. I haven't got time to unpack these. This is going to be a little bit like speed dating. We'll call it speed serving. And we're going to go through them really, really quickly. But if there's something here that is sparked within you, make sure you go and find the aligned ministry table in the foyer. Because all of the areas that I'm going to highlight now are in the foyer right now, being staffed with their teams and ready to engage you after this. So Crossway Kids, we just heard about that, additional need buddies, adult mentors, and small group leaders. Next Steps, we just heard about the car park team, the welcome team, and the Next Steps team. Production, camera operators, thank you very much, camera operators. We also, there are opportunities in your computer graphic upstairs there, operators upstairs, the audio team with Ethan. And then we have worship, musicians, and vocalists, opportunities there. In prayer, opportunity to join the worship service prayer team down the front, vital ministry that takes place here every single week. You might like to lead a prayer group through the week too that's got a particular emphasis. And we have our life groups. You might like to become a life group leader and open up your home. Or perhaps you'd like to become a life group coach where you take a hold of two to four coaches and end up coaching them and encouraging them and getting to sow into their lives. And it's the cafe. We have a great cafe team. As a matter of fact, right now we've got this beautiful family who are serving together as a family in the cafe today. They came to church last night because they knew they were serving today. And they didn't want to miss out on this. So it's what Pastor Dale often talks about, that concept of worship one, serve one. Great example of this family. Even more hardcore because they did it across 2 days. They came and worshipped Saturday and served on Sunday. Here for us Sunday comers, even easier next year when you think about it. Hey, I could worship at 10:15 and serve at 11:45 or vice versa. Great opportunities to mix and match next year. So the cafe team is one of those opportunities to serve and prepare. The teen coffee service you see there in the foyer, become a part of that serving team. Crossway Youth, security parents on site on Fridays, very, very helpful. Mentoring of leaders, that's adults coming in and mentoring our youth leaders, many of whom, most of them who are quite young in themselves, the youth leadership team, so joining the youth leadership team. Then we have a Crossway Young Adults becoming a mentor. So again, older, more seasoned people coming alongside our young adults as they start to negotiate a very different season of life. And actually, Tanya and I, we're going to put our hands up and get involved in this next year. But I'm busy, aren't I? Yeah, I'm busy, but we can shift a few things around because I really believe in the next generation. And we've got something to encourage them with. So we're going to have them in our homes next year and encouraging them along their journey. So you might like to become a Crossway Young Adult mentor or join the Red Frogs team. If you do that, you'll have a great time in Byron Bay in late November as the part of the school support team. And then you've got Crossway Care. Perhaps you'd like to become part of the home care team and visit people who are in need. Perhaps you become a care support group coordinator. Also the phone care team, where you don't even have to leave your own home to be part of that team. And you can simply call people. And often those calls are just a call in season for people who are desperately in need of some company. Seniors the same. You can join our seniors phone care team. You can also join our general care, including visits to our seniors. And what a blessing that is when our seniors receive a visit from somebody. You might like to join the practical care team where you go into a senior's home and do some gardening for them, some lawn mowing, whatever that might look like. There's Crossway Life Care. You've met Matt already this morning on stage here. You might like to join with him and become a coach community mentor. And we have lots of training to help you do that. Or join the shower truck team. Or the who said yay? Hey, there we go. There's a couple of you down the front here. Fantastic. Shower truck team. I won't because there's so many stories connected to the shower truck. It's wonderful ministry. The pantry team, you can be involved in the pantry team too. And then English as an additional language. You might like to become a teacher or a teaching assistant or setup team, morning tea preparation, becoming a buddy, simply coming along and talking with these new students and often new arrivals here in Australia, and what a blessing that role would be. And then online campus, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm looking right down the barrel now and say to you, there are opportunities for you in an online world too to become a service chat host, to become a life group leader online. You might like to join the Alpha team online or the marriage course online team as well. Many opportunities for you. And Pastor Steve has offered the invitation for you to join with him after the service in a live Zoom call so you can engage with him and talk about how you could be involved in growing the online community. Whew, I'm pretty tired after that. And that's not everything. That's only three. I said to the ministry leaders, give me three of your top areas right now. A lot of them wanted to give me 5 or 6. I said, I can't do that today. There's so many more opportunities to be involved. And I'm tired, yes. But you ought not be tired in the sense of you don't have to do all those things. You might just want to choose 1 or 2 of those things. Maybe you're a 2, 3, 4 talent person. You might want to choose 1, 2, 3, 4 of those things and invest in your lives. Understand, too, there's a time commitment to those commitments that range from monthly to fortnightly to weekly. But again, our ministry staff out in the foyer will help you through and talk you through all of that. So some great opportunities to be involved in 2024. We understand 2023, you're locked and loaded, you've got your rhythms already. It's pretty hard to break those open with a couple of months shy of Christmas, but we're gearing up for 2024. Now is a great time, and maybe you can get some training in the now, ready for next year in terms of those roles. Hey, in our parable today, we see that the two servants were looked upon favorably by their master. Why? Because they were faithful. They invested that which they had been given. Well done, good and faithful servant, we hear. And what I love about the parable here is the two servants were looked upon favorably in exactly the same way. The master treats them in exactly the same fashion. The first servant gained 5 more, the second gained 2 more, yet he's equally pleased with them. And he rewards them equally with more responsibility and more abundance. And so for us, it's being faithful with what God has given us and being willing to release and activate those gifts, however many he has given us. But what about the unfaithful servant? We can't rush past this, can't we? That little sting in the tail at the end of this parable. The servant with the 1 talent. It was this servant that the master was highly displeased and describes him as lazy and wicked. It's pretty full on. The master's furious. This last man was thinking only of himself and even tried to blame his failure on the master. So the servant had exercised no courage, no motivation, and was judged for his self-centeredness. No doubt his wickedness was stemming from this attitude that he had towards the master, which in turn led to his laziness and his, in a sense, self-preservation. Had he truly loved the master, he wouldn't have tried to blame the master for his lack of use or his lack of fruit. And he would have at least proactively sought to earn some interest with the money he'd been given, which clearly reminds us that our relationship with God and our intimate relationship with Jesus directly correlates with our preparedness to serve him and our want to serve. There is a direct link in that relationship. See, the third servant apparently is not a true disciple. And so he's condemned quite harshly. Not so much for sitting on his hands or making a mistake. Hey, we'll all make mistakes. When we dip the toe in the water, we'll make mistakes. It happens. We'll have those off days. But it's not. He doesn't get condemned for that. He gets condemned because he doesn't love the master. He's turned his back on the master. He doesn't care about the master. Has no desire to serve him. And so the master's words appear quite harsh, don't they? Yet they are attention-grabbing. If a man who keeps his talent intact, unused, and returns it undamaged, receives such heavy judgment. Hey, let's not find ourselves in that space. I conclude with this thought. You remember growing up and you're going to school and you went to PE class. Now, I presume and I trust that they don't do this anymore, particularly in this inclusivity type of society that we now live in where everyone gets a trophy. I'm not sure about that, but anyway. It's a different society we live in now, and there's some good in that too. Remember PE class, where you rock up and the teacher would choose 2 captains. Say, okay, you and you come out here and the rest of the class would line up and the captains would have to choose their teams and through the perceived ability of those people to get the job done. It usually was some obscure sort of sport like my sport, like hockey. No one had ever wielded a hockey stick in the air, but it was a dangerous sport at PE, or European handball or badminton, whatever it might be. You had to choose your team. And it was such a degrading and embarrassing experience for some, wasn't it? I can't believe we did this. You think about it. I mean, it was okay to get picked early. Okay, out you come, you come out. But it was those last 3 or 4 that you felt really sorry for. And the captains would stand there, and there'd be this pregnant pause. It wasn't hard, just choose someone. But they go, okay, Bob, up you come, Bob, and Judy, you come over this side. And it was like they were the spare parts. They were feeling like chopped liver just standing there. It was shocking. So embarrassing for them. Well, fortunately, we don't do that here at Crossway. Pastor Dale and I are not going to stand up on stage after the service and line you all up and pick you all off and ask you to join our team. You know why? You've already been chosen. God's already chosen you to be on his team. He's already got a role for you. The question is, are you going to step up into that role? Are you going to become part of the team? Because there is a role for you. Are you going to step into that service? See, when you step up, as many of you have already, you join a team. And we call it Team Crossway. And on this team, no one is better than another. There's a position for you. There are positions for you, depending on where you're at in your life and the amount of gifts that God has given you. And we're all on the same playing field. And like any successful team, we cheer each other on. We cheer each other. We celebrate each other. It's not about me. It's actually about us and what God's doing through us. And so we celebrate those kingdom outcomes together. And we are stronger together. We're stronger because of the person next to you and either side of you who are also serving with you. And understand this. When you give God your best, you'll be inspiring somebody else to give God their best, because we become cultural curators in so doing. Understand that through Christ, you can change the course of someone's life through your serving. And so as 2023 comes to a close, and it's coming with a rush, isn't it? And we gear up for 2024. Let's be encouraged to give God our best and let Him do the rest. You don't have to worry about the outcome. God worries about that. Just give God your best and let Him do the rest. And as we love God and bring Him pleasure, may it be said of each and every one of us, and for those of you watching online, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Lord God, we want to thank You for the diversity, the array of gifting that is in this, Your church. And we celebrate that. And we thank You for the incredible invitation to be involved on Your team, for the belief that You have in us, for the generosity in the way You've lavished Your gifts upon us, and the fact that You've given us a role to play, that You believe that much in us. May we step into that individual and collective responsibility we all have to play our part. Would You empower us with strength and wisdom? Would You empower us by Your Spirit to step into our calling and make a difference in people's lives? And we connect our service to a soul. And we connect our serving to our relationship with You and our love for You. The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, everyone gets to play. And for that, we are privileged. And for that, we say, thank You, God. And now, Crossway, let's serve. Amen.